2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
All right, welcome back into another Jazz Notes podcast. It's actually been a while since we had a Jazz Notes podcast. There's good reason why. There's good reason why we're having one tonight. Austin Facer from KSLSports.com is joining me. There's good reason why we have one tonight, but there is also good reason why I haven't had one in a while. Austin and I joined each other 2 weeks ago, and then I got sick the next weekend.
Oh, no.
And I'll be honest, I just really, and with work, with my other job, I just didn't really have a lot of time to do a Jazz Notes podcast. You don't have to feel bad for me. It was just
I do.
Now
I want the best for you, Cleo.
Don't feel bad for me. So anyway, but there's a good reason we had tonight. Okay,
totally.
I was going to plan on coming tonight just because I needed to come to a game and see the Jazz play again. And I thought, oh, why not against this Phoenix Suns early in the week? And then what happens? Teach me how to Jimmer shows up.
Yeah, kind of a big deal, right? Yeah, I think
at least
he's still
for BYU fans. Yeah,
yeah, I think he's still pretty well liked around these parts. So it was kind of fun to see. I mean, the crowd was incredible as far as, you know, support for Jimmer goes. It was a sight to behold.
And let's just get to this. The Jazz won 125-92. Okay, you hear that score and you think, oh my gosh, why would you? I mean, how is that game entertaining at all? But I just want you, Austin, what was the most entertaining portion of the night?
Oh, it had to be the fourth quarter when Jimmer was just hucking and chucking, trying to get any kind of basket he could. And, man, it was, the reaction of the crowd was so funny. You could hear this, like, this big gasp every time he threw one up, and then just the defeated gasp every time they, you know, he clanked one off the rim. He finally made one, a little runner in the lane, and then knocked down a few free throws at the end. But man, it was kind of a rough night for Jimmer. He went 1-for-10, and you know, wasn't probably the homecoming he was hoping to have in front of the fans at Vivint Smart Home Arena.
6 points on the night. You know, Jimmer, I know he wants to play better, but ever the optimist, they asked him what he thought about the crowd cheering for him. By the way, the one thing that Austin didn't talk about is when he first came into the game.
Oh, that was crazy.
Yeah. I can't believe
it. Standing ovation.
I said yesterday in the Jazz Notes feature that's on KSL News Radio, I said, you know, maybe he'll get booed. Because, you know, sometimes Jazz fans do that. Maybe he'll get booed, but he could maybe that's a good thing because that means he's actually playing in the game. Because he only played 4 minutes against the Kings the other night. He got plenty of playing time in this one. He played 14 minutes, and a lot of that's just because it was a blowout. But when he first came in the second quarter, Austin, I mean, fans were standing up. There was a loud – to me, it seemed like it was the loudest cheer up to that point of the game.
Oh, without a doubt.
Other than, you know, really great Jazz plays. But really other than that, that was the loudest cheer was when he came in for the first time. It was kind of odd, I'm going to have to say.
Yeah, very strange. I think we have some post-game sound from Donovan where he even commented on how strange it was. So it was like you said, it was a huge blowout, but there were tons of very interesting facets to this game.
Okay, you mentioned it. Let's hear from Donovan.
I was so confused today, not gonna lie. I expected that, but that was I mean, it's just shows the passion of the fans in Utah, you know. Like I told Rick, I said, this man played college basketball. You know, he didn't do anything else but college basketball, and they love him. And that's awesome. You know, that's awesome for him and for all the fans to be able to see him. You know, I've obviously watched him, you know, growing up, and it's pretty special to be able to come back home and have that feeling.
Obviously, there's.
And then, Jimmer, you went and talked to Jimmer. You were in the Suns locker room. I was in the Jazz locker room.
Yep.
Jimmer, afterwards, as I said, ever the optimist, they asked him about the crowd and how much they cheered for him. And boy, the crowd really wanted him to score late, and he seemed to love it.
I mean, it was always fun to come back. There's a lot of emotions that come in to come back to Utah, obviously.
I get into the game, the crowd is definitely crazy. So I appreciate the fans and everything. But, you know, I felt pretty amped up about the game. A lot of my shots were a little bit long, you know. But it felt good to just get out there and just be aggressive, play my game, and know if I keep doing that, everything's going to be good.
I'm going to say early in the game, he looked overwhelmed.
Oh, yeah. Like he looked like he did not belong out there.
Yeah, like he did not belong. I mean, his first defensive play, he lets Howell Neto drive by him. Mm-hmm. He fouls Neto, and Neto gets the and one.
Oh, yeah. It was...
I mean, he just looked overwhelmed.
That's the knock on Jimmer, for sure, yeah.
And he didn't make his first he didn't make his first points. He did not make his first basket until the fourth quarter. And the crescendo of the fans, it just kept building and building. I don't think it would have been that way if he would have scored in the second quarter, but it just kept building and building, and fans wanted him so badly to score in this game when he finally did. Huge cheer goes up. Everyone's going crazy. It kind of felt in some ways derisive, you know, like
a little bit, yeah.
Like it was a little bit sarcastic, like, yay, Jimmer, you finally did it.
It's because it took him so long. I mean, I think it took him, like, he didn't make his first shot until like his ninth attempt of the game. So I think it was almost kind of, I don't want to say it was funny to see him miss all those shots, but I think there were some people who kind of got a kick out of, you know, I guess the extreme effort that it required out of him to put the ball in the hoop.
Especially compared to what happened with Devin Booker tonight for the Suns.
Oh,
we'll
yeah.
get to Devin Booker here in a second, but I was thinking about that. I'm like, I wonder how he feels about that. I wonder how he feels about these fans cheering for him, because I would think that they're positive. They want to be some of them are there positive. There were plenty of people there in Shanghai Sharks jerseys,
oh, yeah.
in Jimmer Fredette jerseys, whatever. They were, a lot of people were there supporting Jimmer Fredette. But I could tell, like, the guys that were right in front of us, right mm-hmm. where
yeah.
we sit, yeah, I could tell that they were not there actually supporting him. It was
they were just there to get on the Jumbotron, and I'm glad they didn't, because yeah. those guys were awful. Yeah,
not good dancers. But anyway,
no.
That's neither here nor there. It just felt like some of those cheers, as I said, were derisive.
Yeah,
but
I would agree.
As I kept thinking about that, and I thought, well, I wonder how Jimmer feels about that, I just thought, Jimmer probably doesn't even care. He probably doesn't care at all.
No, I mean, why would he? The guy's a millionaire. The guy's got adoration, regardless of what happens, you know, in any single game. At the end of the day, he's got a great life. I mean, if he's got one game where he goes 1-for-10, I mean, that's easy to just rub off and you know, move on to the next.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's a pretty, as we said, he's a pretty positive guy. So
yeah.
I think he just cares about playing basketball.
Oh yeah, he's just happy to be there.
Yeah, whatever.
He should be just happy to be there.
And if they would have booed him. It probably would have been like, eh, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think he really would have cared. I just don't think so. Me sitting there, not being worried, but wondering how he felt, I kind of thought later, eh, he doesn't care. He's 1-for-10. He's 6 points. He got to play in front of a lot of fans, a lot of family, a lot of friends. He's probably just happy that he got another chance to be back in the NBA and he's playing again. But again, there were very early on in the game, he did not look like he belonged at all. The guy who did look like he belonged, I know this is the Jazz Notes podcast, and we just focused a lot on Jimmer Fredette, mm-hmm. and the second part we're going to focus on is not a guy who plays for the Jazz either, and that's Devin Booker. 19 of 34 in this game, 16 of 17 at the free throw line. He had 59 points in this game. Not one other Suns player scored in double figures. Devin Booker was on fire tonight. He was, to me, in some ways, except for whether Jimmer Fredette would score or not, he was the only other real entertainment in this game for me, because it was a foregone conclusion who was going to win this game from the second quarter on.
Oh, absolutely.
And it was just like, how much is he going to score? It's amazing. He scores 59 of their 92 points in this game.
Yikes. Think he needs some help? Yeah, I would say he probably needs a little help. Yeah.
And it kind of shows. I mean, it shows tonight how much help he needs. He needs help from someone. I mean, you could sit there and talk about DeAndre Ayton, and ooh, he didn't look good tonight at all. He does not look like the number one overall pick, and the way he played tonight, he doesn't look like he's even close to being in the running for second place or
Shouldn't
third
be.
Place
no.
for rookie of the year or anything mm-hmm. like that. He did not look good. Devin Booker, they are still in search of a guy who's going to be able to come in and help him out. And yeah, he jacked up a lot of shots. And yeah, he probably took some shots that were ill-advised. But let me just say this. Who else on that team is going to do anything for them right now? There is no one that's helping him. I know they have a lot of injuries. I totally get that. And that's kind of why the reason why Jimmer Fredette's even on this team. But who on this team is going to help him out so that they are a better squad right now, Austin?
I don't know. That's a really good question. Me and my colleague Trevor Allen were actually talking about this. We were going through the Suns roster. And just anytime you have guys that you just don't – I mean, us, we follow the NBA a lot. But there are guys on the roster whose names we just did not ring a bell at all. And that's not a good sign for any kind of team that wants to be competitive. I mean, I don't know much about Eli Okobo. Seems like they relied on him a lot. He played 26 minutes.
He's a rookie, and, yeah, he's coming along, but he's got a long way to go, too.
D'Anthony Melton, I have no idea who that guy is. He started, had 0 points. I mean, these guys, I feel bad for Igor Kokoskov. I mean, that roster is just, there's not a lot to it. You know, I really the only name that I recognized other than Booker and Ayton was probably Jamal Crawford, and he didn't even play tonight, so.
He's one of my favorite players.
I like him. He's great, yeah.
Okay, by the way, let's give it up to D'Anthony Melton, by the way. We're going to say for two reasons, okay? So, Devin Booker was subbed out with probably, what, 5 minutes left in the game?
Yeah.
And we thought, I will say, I thought he was done for the night.
Mm-hmm.
Some people on Twitter I was noticing was like, come on, let's see if he can go for 60. So they sub him back into the game.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they're having trouble scoring anyway, and he's their mm-hmm. only offense. So they sub him back into the game, and late in the game, they don't even give him a chance to shoot. The Jazz foul D'Anthony Melton and put him at the line. And what happens? D'Anthony Melton goes up, goes 0-for-2 from the free throw line.
Free Chick-fil-A.
Free Chick-fil-A for the fans. Again, wacky night right there. And by the way, let me just say, I don't care if Devin Booker would have scored 60 against the Jazz or not, but I'm not going to begrudge the Jazz for fouling D'Anthony Melton or whomever it was out on the floor.
Got to get the fans their chicken somehow. Yeah.
I was going to say, I don't begrudge them because, you know, they basically put him back in the game to see if he could score 60, and the Jazz are like, no, you're not going to score 60 on us. We're going to let some other guys shoot the ball. So I really don't care. People could be upset about it. It'd be nice if he could have at least had a chance, but I don't blame the Jazz for saying, no, you're not going to score 60 on us.
No. They're competitive guys. You know, they don't want to be the win was well within their grasp, but giving up 60 is a little embarrassing. They don't want to do that.
Let's go back to the topic that we just talked about right here, how much this team needs help. And I don't want to focus on the Suns, but it's just a general overall NBA theme here, and it can go to the Jazz, too.
Sure.
The Jazz, they're not going to get a Devin Booker. They're going to try and build as much as they can around Devin Booker right now. But the Jazz right now, this shows again why you need more than one star. Why you need more than a potential Donovan Mitchell, who, by the way, didn't have a great shooting night. He's only 4-for-14, and he ended up with 10 points on the night. Rudy Gobert led the team with 27 points on the night. Plenty of other guys had good nights, but again, Suns. So it shows you how badly you need at least one superstar, one star, and a guy who's really close to being a star on your team. And I think the Jazz are, again, we've talked about this a lot, they're really close to that. You've got Rudy Gobert, and he's that almost star. At least he's a star on the defensive end, and, man, he can do a lot of things. We saw him dunk a lot tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You have Donovan Mitchell, who's your potential superstar. They really need another star on this team, and it showed again why tonight, when you look at a team like Phoenix, why the stars are so big in the NBA and why the Jazz need another guy if they feel like they're going to play for an NBA Finals in any time in the near future.
Yeah, it's definitely a star-driven league. But tonight, I think, was a great example of a complete team effort by the Jazz. Every single guy who touched the floor scored a basket. They didn't have to play a single guy over 30 minutes. I think while, you know, there definitely is, you know, concern about bringing in a third option to get to the next level, I think it's tonight was really, really showed the difference in the roster construction between the Suns and the Jazz and just how much more complete the Jazz are.
And that brings us to our next mention. The Jazz just tore up the Suns. And you could say whether this was entertaining or not, but Rudy Gobert was dunking on everyone. And the main reason why is because the Suns' perimeter defense is pretty pathetic.
Oh, yeah.
And so the Jazz guards and wings were able to kind of, I don't want to say get to the basket at will, but they were able to basically create offense by going to the basket, and that led to a lot of dunks. In fact, in the first quarter, the Jazz had no three-pointers at all, but they were shooting great from the field because everything was right near the basket. The points in the paint were amazing.
It's huge. It's 70-32. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, so the Jazz just killed them in the paint. But Joe Ingles was asked, you know, about the offense and how they're trying to open up the playbook. And Joe was asked about if the Jazz are opening up the playbook a little bit more, if they're feeling a little bit more comfortable. And he basically said the Jazz can kind of play whatever offense that they're, you know, whatever defense gives them.
So many teams play different styles of defense. Sometimes they're jacking up Rudy on a roll and he's not getting anything at the rim. And other games, they're letting him roll and we can get him on the rim. Donovan, depending. Like, there's just obviously different ways, and I think being an unselfish team, different guys handle the ball, different guys are in different actions all game. And it's one of the best things that we've got is that we can have three, four, five, six guys handle the ball and make a play.
You know, I will have to say, Joe, when he's handling the ball, he is a joy to watch, and we're going to talk about a little bit more about Joe later. But they really do have enough guys now. And the reason why they have enough guys now is that Royce O'Neale has improved his ball handling.
Oh, yeah.
He is a lot better. You now have Howell Neto, who's healthy,
yeah,
and he's able to handle the ball. I will still probably say Ricky and Donovan are your two best ball handlers and the best guys at creating offense. Then you probably move down to Joe next. They've got enough guys now that they're able to do those things. It's just how are teams going to play them defensively? And I think once you get to the playoffs, tonight was the Suns. I know it's Monday night, so I'm going to say tonight. It was the Suns tonight. It's going to be a lot different when they get into the playoffs, and it's going to be a lot more difficult once they get into the playoffs because those teams are going to play this Jazz team differently, and they're going to make them shoot from the outside.
Yeah, I think we're going to really see whether or not the Kyle Korver trade ends up paying off, you know, in the playoffs. That's where, like you said, a lot of their offense comes from breaking the paint and getting inside. But having the ability to kick it out and shoot a three-pointer is a huge threat. And we can see the Jazz had a great night tonight. They went 10-for-21 from beyond the arc after a slow start shooting the three-pointer. So I think definitely having like a complete ability, whether it's to get a dunk from Rudy or a triple from Korver or Ingles. I mean, the Jazz have a complete offense, and I think we're gonna really see that come to fruition.
Just looking out here on Twitter, by the way, I know this is going to be old news by the time this reaches everyone's ears on Tuesday morning or Tuesday afternoon or whatever you listen to this, but Yusuf Nurkic of the Portland Trailblazers went out of the game against the Brooklyn Nets with a leg injury, so mm-hmm. That's going to hurt them. Jazz are now in fifth place.
Yep.
In the playoffs.
Big help from the Grizzlies tonight. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The Grizzlies actually beat the Oklahoma City Thunder, by the way. Some of their main players were not playing for the Grizzlies, and you're like, what's the deal with the Grizzlies taking down good teams?
That's weird. They've got a weird team there.
But anyway, that may help the Jazz move up the standings. Right now they're in fifth place. There are only 8 games left in this season. They're going to play the Lakers, a team who's not going to make the playoffs. They're taking on the Wizards here soon. A lot of bad teams on the horizon. I think the only thing that they really need to guard against now is not just becoming complacent, because they know that until they play Denver late in the season and the Clippers late in the season, who, by the way, while the Clippers are up there too,
yeah,
they're tied with the Jazz right now. Except for those two teams, really every other team leading up into those two final games are pretty pathetic.
I would agree, yeah. It feels sometimes like the Jazz play down to the level of their competition.
Except for tonight.
They completely obliterated the Suns. But, you know, there is a concern, for and I think it's valid, that, you know, if they keep playing bad teams, they're going to the good teams are just going to look that much better when they have to face them. So it'll be interesting to see how Quinn Snyder gets his team ready for the playoffs.
By the way, did you learn anything from this game tonight? I that was going to be one of my first things. That I mean, was there really anything that we learned from this game? Because I would basically say no, but go ahead.
At the risk of vilifying myself to the entire, you know, BYU fan base, I would say we learned that Jimmer might be at the end of his rope NBA-wise. I think he's going to really struggle to get re-signed next year and by the Suns, and I think we might well see his last days in the NBA.
We've talked a lot about what probably we have learned, which is Devin Booker's really good. Jimmer Fredette, to be determined, but probably not an NBA player. But when it comes to the Jazz side of things, what, that the Jazz are really good and the Suns are really bad, that the Jazz know how to take care of a really bad Suns defense. The only thing that you'd say Quinn Snyder learned tonight was they got to do better against good players.
Yeah.
I know that they have done good, but against some good players recently, like Bradley Beal and some of those other good players like that. But on the other hand, they really let Devin Booker go off tonight, and he manhandled them, got to the line too much. Now, he did say, Coach Snyder did say a little bit later, you know, we did play better defense against him in the third quarter. But he says, we can't let that happen. So I guess that's the only thing we really learned, because other than that, there really wasn't much to, other than being an entertaining game, it really was just a blowout, and the Suns are a bad team, and they have a really bad defense right now. So,
like you said, that was the most fun I've had watching a 33-point blowout in my life. Yeah. That was unexpected.
Oh, so. By the way, we didn't even mention, congratulations, Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, set the single-season dunk record all-time in the NBA with, I don't know what his total is now, but it was previously held by Dwight Howard. So he's now the NBA's all-time single-season dunk leader, which is pretty cool.
And he would have had one more dunk, but Joe Ingles blew that tonight.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, stupid Joe Ingles. No, I'm just teasing with it. So after the game, I had to ask Joe. By the way, Joe finished with 14 points in this game. He also had 7 assists in this game. And I had to ask Joe, I said, there was one pass, at least I thought it was a pass. I called it a flat-footed shot. I said, there was one flat-footed shot you had. What'd you think about that? And here was his reaction.
That was terrible.
Was that a shot or a pass?
It was a pass. I saw they blacked, or switched, and Rudy was under the rim with whoever it was, one of the little guards, and I just tried to throw it anywhere up near the rim so he could just jump and get it, and seems like I'm pretty good at it. I've done it a couple of times now, so I might just do that for my regular jump shot.
If I could only have a shot, have a pass like Joe Ingles that goes in and like that all the time, that would be really nice. But I probably would like to be a foot taller, and then I'd be about Joe's height. So that'd be nice.
You're right there, yeah. Man, that guy knows how to endear himself to the fans. That guy is well liked. He's pretty awesome.
It was funny. Earlier this season, I joked around with Jeremiah Jensen on the podcast, and I said, hey, here's a wild trade that I would do. I said, let's trade Joe Ingles for Brandon Ingram. No. Just hear me out, because by the way, I'm going to say this is dumb, stupid, and idiotic. But I said, and I will admit to this again and again, it was dumb. And all I said was, hey, let's try and trade for Brandon Ingram, because, you know, he could be that second star. And then right after that, I thought that was the dumbest thing I could have said, because Joe may not be a star, but you can't trade that guy.
No way. They'd set the metropolitan area on fire if anything like that happened. So.
The foothills on fire.
Yeah.
With the Sound of Music. Okay, that was really dumb. Anyway, I think that's going to do it for the Jazz Notes podcast. You know, Jazz have got some really easy teams these next few nights. Blazers do win tonight over the Nets, so they're going to stay a little bit ahead of the Jazz, but Yusuf Nurkic is going to be injured. I'm feeling fairly confident. I know I can't believe I'm going to say this. I'm feeling fairly confident they're going to win every game leading up to those last two games.
Whoa.
And then they're going to take on the Nuggets, and they're going to take on the Clippers. That's going to be fascinating. The Nuggets may be resting guys at that time if they're either clearly in the first or second spot. The Clippers could still be battling the Jazz for playoff seeding. I think the Jazz, though, win every game up to that point. Your thoughts, Austin?
That's a bold take. I don't see why that's not possible, for sure. That would have put them in really good position to make a deep run in the playoffs. I think that's something that I'm going to write about tomorrow. We're going to post it on KSLSports.com.
All right.
Tune in.
You have been listening to the Jazz Notes podcast. Thank you very much to Austin Facer for Facer. Why, I can't even get your name right.
No,
sorry about
right.
that. It's late night. Thanks for Austin for joining me here tonight. Thanks for downloading, subscribing, listening to the Jazz Notes podcast. We'll have more coming up a little bit later this week. Okay, we're back on the track now. 2 a week through the playoffs, hopefully through the playoffs, as the Jazz make a run into the NBA playoffs. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.